Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Since then, we've learned a lot more about that case.
And what I'm going to do right now is just explain to you, based on what I have found out, and the reason that I feel comfortable in explaining my knowledge of what happened that night is because I requested the file from the Fort Worth Police Department, and since doing so, have found out more about that case, which is the purpose for me doing the show tonight. I understand that at, I guess, around 7 o'clock that evening on the 28th, Mr. Thomas was at his home with his three kids, and he and a friend were leaving with the kids to go to buy the daughter, who had a birthday that day, something for her birthday. What Mr. Thomas did not know was that he was under surveillance by the Fort Worth Police Department. So it appears that the Fort Worth Police undercover was just up the block a bit, and they were surveilling Mr. Thomas based on some information that they allegedly had gotten from an informant. And supposedly the information that they had gotten said, if you see Mr. Thomas driving his SUV, then Mr. Thomas has a large amount of drugs in that vehicle. If he's driving the Bud Ice car, then he won't have drugs on him. So based on that information, the Fort Worth Police Department moved forward in trying to arrest Mr. Thomas that night. So they followed him out of his neighborhood, or I guess that's technically still his neighborhood, onto a street called Andrews. And they alleged that as Mr. Thomas approached Andrews and Rosedale, he failed to signal that he was about to turn from 100 feet or greater. They say that he only signaled at about 5 feet. And then they say that he, at that point, then failed to stop at the stop sign and went through it. Well, then the two undercover officers allegedly called ahead to some other officers that were in the area and told MARC units to pull over Ra-Ra Thomas. So at about the time that Ra-Ra was at the Zoom Inn gas station, which is just a piece up from that location that they say he failed to stop at, they pulled him over. But what I'm understanding from eyewitness accounts and from the video that I could tell that came from the Zoom Inn gas station, there was no emblem, no Fort Worth emblem on that particular vehicle that night. And so I understand that the only lights on that vehicle were from inside. And so it appears that at that point they pulled Ra-Ra over, and they asked him for his insurance and his driver's license, and he gave them that. And when they came back, they told him that he had warrants from not within the city of Fort Worth, but from a subdivision here in the Metroplex, called Dow Worthington Gardens. And supposedly there were warrants that were only for Class C traffic offenses. And those warrants that night were for a person who was driving their vehicle with a television receiver visible to the driver, and also no driver's license and failure to appear. So this is the reason that Ra-Ra was stopped, or the two reasons, supposedly or allegedly, that Ra-Ra was stopped at night, because he failed to signal 100 feet or greater at the intersection of Andrews and Rosedale, and also they're saying that he failed to stop at that stop sign that night. And secondly, they're saying once they stopped him, they realized that he had warrants, and so therefore they were going to take him, or put him under arrest, rather, for those warrants that included, like I said, a television receiver being visible to the driver, no driver's license, and failure to appear. So what happened after that? Different people say different things, but what has become apparent is that the eyewitness accounts of people that are non-officers differ greatly from those that were officers on the scene that night. And so tonight what we're going to do is have someone who was actually in the vehicle that night to tell us what actually happened at the point in which the police officers came to the vehicle. And I will tell you, our guest tonight, the Thomas family will be with us. Dr. Joe Spencer is one of our guests, and also Mr. Cardell Davis, who was the passenger in the car that night. So tonight, at this time, we're going to open the phone line to Mr. Davis, and he's going to tell us what actually happened at that point when he, Ra-Ra, and the three kids were pulled over by the Fort Worth Police Department. Let me find him on the phone line. The lines keep moving. I apologize, y'all. There's so many folks on the phone lines. I'm trying to find him on the board. Give me just one second. Good evening, Mr. Davis. How are you?
How you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
So I brought the audience up to the point in which the car was stopped at the Zoom Inn. Ra-Ra was asked for his driver's license. He gave it to him along with his insurance. And then they came back to the car, and they said he had warrants. What happened after that?
They couldn't verify the warrants at first. They didn't say he had a warrant from her. They said it was an out-of-state traffic ticket because, you know, his family's from out-of-state.
Okay.
And they kept saying he had an out-of-state traffic warrant, but they never could verify. They went back and forth to that white van 2 or 3 times.
Okay. And the white van, again, did it have a Fort Worth emblem on it or did it not have an emblem on it?
It was just a plain white van. Couldn't even tell it was a police vehicle.
Okay. So they kept going backwards and forwards to the van, and then what?
And then they walked back up to him, and he said, I remember he grabbed him and started saying that you got a warrant. He said, man, I don't have no warrant. He said, why is the warrant from? He never did tell. He just told him, I think he grabbed him. He said, you got a warrant, and you under arrest. He said, I ain't got no traffic ticket. At that point, the truck started rolling slow. Never did we speed off, go towards the officer or nothing. You know, the truck was still in drive, and he got one leg. His crutch was in the front seat right there, too. And I remember him being twisted around towards the door. That's when the truck started moving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the truck was moving, that officer who did all the shooting,
mm-hmm.
he tried to jump up on the hood first, and he slid out.
Okay.
And then he stepped up on that, he grabbed that mirror, and he stepped up on that rail. He never was drugged. He never was in any danger. He stepped up on the truck. He jumped on that truck twice. It was another officer stepped up got on the truck in the back. When the truck started rolling off, he stepped off and didn't have no injuries.
Okay, okay.
And if there was a police vehicle in the back of us and the lights was flashing, the dash camera should be on to show that.
Okay, and I ask the Fort Worth Police Department for the dash cam video, and what they sent me was dash cam video that showed them following Ra-Ra into mm-hmm. the park at about 7:07, which was about 15 minutes before the actual incident. And when I phoned them back and said, okay, this is not the actual incident, where is the incident that occurred at 7:24, I was told by the Fort Worth Police Department that it did not have dash cam video that particular night, which I questioned that. But they say that's the case. So I asked what was their policy on whether or not a dash cam video is activated or not, and I was told that there were three ways that the dash cam video should be activated.
The lights was on in the vehicle. You could barely see them. They was on.
Okay, are you talking about when you say the vehicle, are you saying
the
van, or are you talking about the police car?
The police van. They didn't stop us in a police car. It was a white van, a plain white van.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your story, Mr. Davis.
Okay, anyway, the law, after he jumped on the hood of the car and slid off, this let you know we were rolling slow. But then he jumped up, tried to jump again. He didn't. He just stepped up. He grabbed Mary and stepped up on that porch rail, and he started shooting. He never was drugged in the street. He came off the trucks at the corner of Zoom In parking lot. He stumbled back. He barely fell, but all the while he was stumbling, he was still shooting his gun. Okay, after that point, the freeway ramp is to your left, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Rob, pull over. When we started to pull over and pass the freeway ramp, was no officer in front of the vehicle, was no officer on the side. They continued on shooting at us. They shot at us about 18 more times. And the chief said one officer shot. It's more than one officer shot at us.
Wow. So you contend that night that Officer Romer was not the only one shooting at that vehicle?
No, ma'am. He never was drugged no two blocks. He wasn't drugged a half a block.
Well, let me ask this. Officer Roman contends that his arm was stuck in the window at some point.
No, ma'am. I take a lie detector test. Have him to take one. He never was drugged. He jumped on that vehicle twice, ma'am. He jumped on that vehicle twice.
Okay.
And then after he fell off, he continued on firing at that vehicle. He knew I was in there. He knew those kids was in there. I'm looking at him.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't the only one shot. All of them didn't shoot. A few more of them, but I say two or three of them shot at us. And then, when there was no officer, no one around, they were shooting at us from the back. Now, and they seen he was pulling over, they didn't care.
Wow.
They continued on firing until, if I wouldn't have jumped at that van, I'd be dead. A bullet went through my pants and scraped my leg. My lawyer got the pants now. Glass was flying, hitting me all in the eyes and the face. All along, my hands was up.
So what happened after that?
Okay, as we come out of Zoom In parking lot, they shot us about six times on Zoom In parking lot. But once we got around the corner where wasn't nobody there, that's when they really shot at us. I say they shot at us about 18 more times.
18 more times.
I swear to God. And no one, when I stayed in the police car, they didn't give me no medical attention or nothing. I laid in the back of the police car at least 2-3 hours bleeding. I didn't know if I was shot or not. I'm watching them do their investigation. They walking up and down that street putting no cones at where no bullet was.
Did you tell them that you needed, like, medical attention?
They knew. I'm bleeding. I'm hurt. I'm messed up bad. You know?
Did you ever ask them, though, can y'all take me to the hospital because I bleed?
Yes, ma'am. I asked a Fort Worth police officer to give me some medical attention. He told me the ambulance over there attending to the police officer.
Wow.
I knew that police officer wasn't hurt because I watched how everything unfolded and went down.
Okay, so what happened after that point?
After that point, when I came out the vehicle.
So they start shooting. You see glass.
They shooting all through the vehicle. I opened the door. They shooting all through the vehicle, ma'am. I looked back at the kid and opened the door. I was going to try to grab one of the babies before I jumped there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just jumped on out the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so
I jumped out the vehicle when the vehicle was going this fast, maybe 15, 25 miles an hour.
You jumped out.
I think the worst is it. I also had a couple of bruises on him. He barely fell. When he came out the truck, he stumbled. That's how slow we was going.
So you bail out of the vehicle because you realize if you don't, you're probably going to be killed. If you just have any doubt about that. You're going to be killed if you stay in this vehicle.
The kids screaming and hollering. We all just, you know, we don't, I'm looking at him. We looking at each other like, you know, I'm not shooting at them. I'm looking at him. He ain't shooting at them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
It just really blew my mind that they did something like that. And for them to try to cover it up, took the grand jury on the hour to clear that officer. I just want to ask the chief, if they say he had a large amount of drugs on him, that van was parked on the Dillon Street on the end. When I came, I asked Rod Ryan if something happened because it was a white van down there. He said, no, I'm just supposed to take my kids out to get dinner real quick because it was my daughter's birthday. And get them back because it was on a school night.
So technically, they ain't telling the whole truth because the white van was on Dillard Street, too.
Yes, ma'am. I told him in the grand jury when I came and turned on that street, that white van was parked down there at the stop sign. See, they could, and then they said another undercover law was behind him, which I didn't see before we left them. They could have stopped him there. They knew he lived in stop six and why he is. Whoever told the officer, they gave them the false information, and they was positive that he had drugs and guns in that vehicle. Because, ma'am, they had assault rifles and everything. When I was laying on the ground, the police car, one police car barely missed running me over. They running past me with assault rifles. And I got up and walked back up there, ma'am. You hear me?
Mm-hmm, I hear
but
you.
No black officers there. No black officers. All white officers.
Wow.
I stumbled and walked back up there, and the lady telling me, get back. I said, no, ma'am, I'm passionate.
Wait. Let me go back just a little bit. So when did the car come to a stop, and when the car came to a stop, what happened?
When they were shooting, I'm looking up. The car rolled on up the hill a little bit, and they opened that door and shot in there and snatched them out on the curb because the door was closed. That's why he laid on the side of that curb where he died in.
So they shot him additional times after they pulled him out of the vehicle?
Yes, ma'am. They thought we had guns and weapons. They thought he had guns and weapons, and we had guns and weapons in there. Because the way they act, they did never act like it was just a regular traffic stop.
They never did.
And they knew we was in there because they talked. Two or three officers came and talked to me. They came back, whose birthday is it? Little girl said, it's my birthday. Why y'all going? They telling the laws what we supposed to go do.
Okay. So then, you know, you realize what all has occurred. You're shaking, and you go up there, and you're telling them, not in a I'm turning myself in way, because you didn't even know that they're going to say you got warrants. So you were just saying I was the passenger in the vehicle because you wanted the record to reflect you knew what happened.
And let me tell you this here, ma'am. I told Officer Perry this. I ain't told too many people this. One black female officer arrived on the scene. I walked up there and talked to her. She said, they sat down. She didn't put me in no handcuffs or nothing. The white officer, one of them, I don't know if it was one done the shooting or one the other one, ran up to me with a pistol out on me. Get down, cuss me out. Get down. And she asked him, I said, what did I do? He said, get down on the ground. He screamed at me, tell him, get down. That's him. That's what he said. He fled. The black officer said, no, he didn't. He walked up her. He got up out the street and walked up her and told me what's going on. She said, I seen him get out the street and walk. She said, he walked straight up here to me. Anyway, he walked around trying to, with the pistol out on me, telling me to get down. She asked him, what did he do? You know what that officer told her?
What?
He said, he got a traffic ticket. You know what she said? She said, I'm going to arrest him. The officer grabbed at me. She stood between them. She said, I'm going to arrest him. I believe he would have killed him because he has pistol out on him at all times.
So you tell him you're the passenger in the car. You have done nothing wrong. You just happen to be, I guess, riding while black. I don't know. And they got an assault. I mean, they got a pistol out on you, drawn at you like you've done something wrong?
He got the pistol out at me, pointed at me, telling me to get down on the ground. I'm asking, what have I done? Y'all told him up there at the gas station, I didn't have no warrants. They left me alone.
Wow.
And then she asked him, see, that's how I know that they lied. Because at that van, when they ran my ID and stuff, they knew that I had that warrant. They wasn't worried about my warrant for that traffic ticket. When they walked away from me, they said, Miss Davis, you clear, you good, you can go.
Okay, let me ask you something about Romer Spencer. An officer, I'm an officer, Lord have mercy, help me, Jesus. Dr. Zoe Spencer, your phone line is open. And you can jump in anytime you like. Officer Romer made some comments, and the Thomas family is on the line. I'm going to open up their phone line as well. One thing I think I understand Mr. Romer to say, you know, the media played it out that Officer Romer was drugged. Per Mr. Romer's, or I'm going to call him Mr. because I really don't respect him as an officer, Romer's own account, Romer said, they said, how many steps did you have to take to get your footing on the running board? And per this man's own statement, it was only one or two steps.
Okay. Ma'am, he never was drugged on that. He's up. I'm looking at the officer over the truck. He's on to the mirror with his gun. He's up. I'm looking at him eye to eye. He wasn't never on that ground. I'm looking at that officer eye to eye shooting into that truck at us. I'm looking at that officer in his eyes while he's shooting at us. And he said that he never put anybody's life inside the truck in danger.
Mm-hmm.
What did I talk about the truck then?
Mm. Yeah, you got out of the truck because you knew that if you didn't, you probably would have been killed. And, y'all, I've seen the crime scene photos, and it is likely that this young man would have been killed. I mean, more than likely, this man would have been killed had he stayed in that vehicle. And I have talked to Dr. Zoe Spencer about it many times, and we just say the angels was hovering over that car. And there's just no logical reason why all of y'all weren't killed that night. The bullets had the ability to ricochet off of metal. I mean, off of any. It's just crazy how many bullets went into that car and just one person ended up. It's crazy.
What's amazing to me, they say one officer shot.
So you contend it had to be more than one officer that shot at the.
I said that at the grand jury, it's more than one officer shot through her.
Did anybody seem to care that you were saying more than one officer shot in there?
No, ma'am.
Now, one thing I did find out, okay, so let me go back to Roman's testimony. You can tell me whether or not these things are true or not. So he said basically he only took one or two steps. That's something the media never picked up on, y'all. The media here said he was being drugged, you know, all the way down
the media said the chief and them said he was drugged two blocks.
Okay.
That officer came off right at the edge of that. The officer came off the truck at the edge of the snow parking lot.
Okay, I'm getting a feedback from somebody. If you're listening with your computer and your phone, that's going to give a feedback. Also, he said at some point that he reached into the car because Ra-Ra was about to put the car in gear, and he was trying to keep Ra-Ra from putting the car in gear, and per him, which makes no sense, he's 6 feet tall. This is officer alleging that he's 6 feet tall, and he's standing on the ground, allegedly, and he's reaching half of his body through the window to prevent Ra-Ra from putting the car in gear. But in actuality,
at
some
point, the car was already
in gear, in drive.
Listen, when you start grabbing on, that's when it starts rolling forward.
Okay.
So he never put it in pause.
Okay, so he never put the car in park. Okay.
No, ma'am. As soon as he started grabbing them, we started going forward.
Okay, so technically, per Officer Roman's own account, he put his hand in the car twice. He put his hand in the car allegedly to keep Ra-Ra from putting the car in gear, and then secondly to unlock the door, which, for the record, is against all police policy. You're not supposed to put your hand inside of a suspect's vehicle. So that's just something that, you know, was against all their policies and procedures, and we'll go and explain that later. Also, he
wasn't going to with drugs and narcotics.
Okay.
He wasn't going to let them leave. I bet that's what they thought.
Because you had drugs and narcotics. Okay, he also said that the car was going toward 820, which, if anybody is familiar with the Rosedale and Craven's exit to the freeway right there, that would almost have to be like a U-turn to make that turn from the point that they were at. Was that car ever going toward that freeway?
Man, we could have when he saw it come out the parking lot, mm-hmm. It was right there. When we saw it come out that parking lot, I said, Ra-Ra, pull over to the shoulder. The truck was on the shoulder. We ended up on the shoulder. He started pulling over. That's when they kept shooting at us. They didn't care about him pulling over, stopping. They mind was made up at that time.
So he was basically trying to surrender, and they had to shoot at him at when he's trying to surrender.
Yes, ma'am. I told him the same thing at the grand jury. I told him, I said, Ra-Ra, pull over. He said, we pulling over. He got his kids, and he ain't crazy. He pulling over. If I knew they were going to do that, I would have told them to keep going because they shot at about 18, 20 more times. The chief can cover it up and say whatever he wants. When we got around that side by that stove, wasn't nobody there witness really to see. That's when they really shot at us, and I know more than one officer shot at us.
Okay.
There's more. So after you look at that, there's more.
Okay, somebody's phone line is open. If you would, mute your phone until I come to you. So, Ra-Ra, when you – I mean, I'm calling you. I'm sorry. Mr. Davis.
Yes,
when you hear that the car was swerving from side to side trying to throw the officer off the car, is that account correct?
The lie detector to say, that's a lie.
So the car never swerved from side to side?
No, man, never did he ever put anyone or officer in danger. That officer jumped on to that vehicle.
And you all, no witness account ever said that the car swerved side to side. But Officer
Roman... Now one of my statements, I gave him a statement that night. That's a lie. That's another lie.
Okay. So when they say things like getting on the freeway, that's not true. They
that's
say
that
swerving from side to side, that's not true. And so you are willing to go and take a lie detector test, and you are asking Officer Roman to do the same thing, take a lie detector test, and just see who's telling the truth.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Officer Romer said that at some point, you were in the front seat of the car, and this is an officer who says he was shooting in this car, and
yes.
He says at some point he didn't even see Mr. Davis anymore. So that's scary just to think that he's shooting, and he doesn't even have sight of everybody in the car. So and when Mr. Davis hopped out of the car, he never even saw Mr. Davis hop out of the car. So it almost seems like he was recklessly shooting into this vehicle.
Now,
because if you don't have sight of all parties that were in that vehicle, it almost seems scary that you would be shooting into this vehicle while you claim the car is moving from side to side and you're about to lose your life, but you're just recklessly shooting and there's five passengers in the vehicle at the time. I just find that hard.
Three babies in there, three little bitty babies. They talk to every one of them. They could have did something different. That one officer, that narcotic officer, whoever his informant was who gave him a tip, he thought he had a shown-up tip. That's
okay.
He was bouncing all around. He was all hype. He was just, he was the one who was in charge.
See, I understand that Romer was actually at first guarding you. And at some point, he left guarding you and went around and got involved with what was going on with Ra-Ra. Is that correct? Because that's his account of what happened.
No, ma'am. He never came to me. He was always over there with him.
Okay. Now, y'all, that's in Romer's own account of what happened, that he started out initially getting the information from Mr. Davis. And
no, ma'am. He went right around there to him.
Wow. So he never came to you.
It's one or two officers came and talked to me. All of them was around there with him. After they talked to me, they left me alone. They were all over there. That's
and Romer was never one of the ones to talk to you.
No, ma'am. He never spoke to me. They knew what they was doing.
Okay, so when Romer says that his arm was trapped inside the window and he was trying to get his arm out of the window and he had to make all these acrobatic moves to get his arm out the window so that he could get free and hopefully save his life, none of that was true.
None of that was true. Ma'am, the way they did that, if they weren't police officers, I would swear that was a hit.
Yeah.
And they didn't care who got in the way as long as they got who they wanted.
Wow.
That's a kill. I take a lie detector test. He never did nothing to provoke that. He never tried to run the officer off the road, never tried to throw him off. We never, like I told him at the grand jury, we never reached speed over 25 miles an hour.
Wow. Dr. Zoe Spencer, you reviewed that file as well as myself. What do you think?
Well, basically, everything that Mr. Davis has stated is really validated by everything that I've looked at. I will go out on the limb to definitely agree that more than one officer was shooting through the vehicle. I've read Officer Romer's statements. I've had an independent medical person to review the autopsy photos and the autopsy report. There are two bullet wounds specifically that are questionable that could not have come from Officer Romer's position on the truck as he states. So there's just everything that he's saying is true, and so I'm still not understanding, and I'm going to
pretty much let him speak because I'm not understanding how the grand jury could have no-billed this case.
Okay. And so do I have the Thomas family on? Do I have your phone lines open? Thomas family. How are you all this evening?
Hello, we're fine.
Hi, is this Patricia?
Yes.
Hi, Patricia. First of all, you all know you have our condolences, you know, for what happened that night. But based on listening to Mr. Davis tell what happened, does that contradict everything you all have heard up to this point?
Yes.
So is it surprising that they no-billed the officer based on the fact that Mr. Davis says things happened totally different from the way Romer told it?
It's very surprising due to the fact that there were five additional people in the car and they didn't feel him on nothing.
Okay, you're in the same room with your computer and you're getting a feedback, so you'll have to leave the room with the computer when you're talking to us because it gives you, like, a little feedback. So, you know, you all, I mean, have waited, like, 7.5 months now waiting for a decision. And when you all heard that the officer was going before the grand jury, were you all surprised how quickly the grand jury came back with their decision?
That blew my mind.
Because we were at the grand jury, and we hadn't even made it home yet, and people were calling us on our cell phones, like, I have you seen the news, and we're like, what? They're like, they no-billed the officer. I'm like, what? We just left, so, you know, we thought that we would get some kind of fair warning.
And they as witnesses, who did they call? They called you, Mr. Davis, and one of the children. Is that all that they used for, like, the testimony of account witnesses? Is that it?
It was at least 5 or 6 people came up to me when I was in the street, told me they had seen everything. No, I didn't see. I didn't hear or see none of them. I think it was just me, maybe one of the kids.
Okay.
Two of the kids.
Really? And I did see the account from the kids. And, you know, these kids did not have time to have their statements tainted by anybody. They were immediately taken from the scene and taken to counselors to give their statements. Without any type of parent being present, their statements were taken, so they can't say the statements were, given to them by their parents. These statements were actually so pure in their form, and it was just amazing that these kids, I would want them to testify for me if something happened, because the accounts that they gave were all consistent, and all three of them were in separate rooms interviewed by separate counselors, yet every single one of the children's accounts are consistent. And it appears, per the children, you know, that their dad was on the phone making a phone call. And that's another thing. The kids say that their father was on the phone trying to call someone to come and get the kids. Do you remember that, Mr. Cardell?
I remember when the law come back, he started trying to grab on me. He was on the telephone.
So he was on the phone, y'all, trying to make a phone call to tell somebody to come get his kids because they were about to arrest him. And the officers would not allow him to complete that call. So I understand he tried to throw the phone to the kids so they could complete the call, and that was not allowed. Is that consistent, Mr. Cardell?
Ma'am, I'm just trying to give it to you, you know, the best as I can remember, because it dramatized me so much.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And hurt me so bad the way they did us. You know how you try to, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's less like,
No, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth because I know you probably did better than I could have because, you know, in a situation like that, I know you're shaking. And so I can imagine things went very fast and you're not going to remember every single detail. But two of the kids said that their daddy was trying to make a phone call at the time that the officers were trying to arrest him. So he knew something bad was going to happen, and he was trying to secure the kids. And I understand from one of the kids' accounts that Cheryl had even told them, let me take my kids home. And I understand that they told him no. You know, and Sherrall lived around the corner from where this happened. So you can only imagine, you know, what must have been in his mind. And I'll ask you, Patricia, do you feel that you know, Sherrall was like, confused at all, or he was just anxious to try to get the kids home? Why do you think things went down the way they did?
I'm sure he was confused. He was scared. His life, his children's life. If you have people surrounding your vehicle like that, and you're like, well, what did I do wrong? Anybody would be confused
mm-hmm.
or scared.
Mm-hmm. And then after they didn't allow him, I'm sorry.
All the while we was there, they never asked us to get out. I said, officer, you want me to step out? No. Officer, you want me to step out the truck? They said, no, sir, Ms. Davis, you fine. They said, you let your window back up, whatever. I left my window down.
Can I interject right there, Terry? Because, see, that's the problem, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump in and put it where it belongs. There are two different rules. There are two different procedures that the police officers are supposed to follow based on what type of stop they're making. There are traffic stop, just general traffic violation stop procedures, and then there are procedures for a known suspect or a known felon. Now, the reality of what happened here is contrary to Chief Halstead's mandate against racial profiling. Sherrall Thomas was both racially profiled and criminally profiled. According to the evidence, they got a tip. The patrol officers who did not even have any kind of judicial sanction or any kind of sanction to do surveillance on Sherrall Thomas got a tip from a weak informant that told them loosely that when he is running drugs or when he has drugs, he'll be driving this vehicle. Based on that tip and perhaps based on the fact that he was in a neighborhood that may have been known for drugs or what have you, and then another African-American male enters the vehicle, they assumed that Mr. Thomas was transporting drugs. Now, because they didn't have probable cause to initiate a probable cause stop and search based on drugs, they concoct, they follow him, and then they concoct this bogus traffic stop to justify stopping him.
If they said he ran the stop sign and did that, why they stop us a mile and a half down the street then?
And that's the point.
In the neighborhood, they stopped us a mile and a half down the street.
And the point to that is that the traffic stop was just a cover up because they thought they were going to have a drug bust. So now they have to initiate.
And let me tell y'all something else. The white van wasn't behind us then. If they said he did that, ran the stop sign and stuff, whatever that undercover car was, that's who told him that, because the white van came later. See what I'm saying? The white van speeded up after we were almost at the zoom in. That's when we seen the white van fly. You know what I'm saying? I said, is that a police car? I said, no. I said, you know, we wasn't for sure because the lights wasn't on the outside. You could see some little lights on the inside. They wasn't flashing like the police, nothing like the police lights flash on the car. They wasn't nothing like that. Nothing like the ambulance, nothing like that. So, you know, it wasn't for sure, you know, what it was.
So at the end of the day, he was going to pull you all over, it seems, regardless. And so it seems to me that even if they had gotten him on a traffic situation, that failure to signal and you know, at 100 feet or greater and failure to stop, that wouldn't have even stood up in court, people, because the officer who writes the ticket has to be the officer that. So all of this stuff that happened that night, all of these issues with these tickets and the warrants and all of this.
They never clarified that to him, and they never said it was in turn. They said it was an out-of-state traffic ticket.
But the thing is, you killed the man.
And then they asked him for, Rah-Rah asked him for what state, and he couldn't tell him that. He couldn't tell him nothing. It was that one officer. He just, you know, like he just had something big. He was hyped. I'm talking about his adrenaline was pumping, and he was hyped.
But you kill a man over failing to stop at a stop sign and failing to a signal at 100 feet or greater, and the fact that he had some out-of-city tickets, I mean, they had turned to warrants, but he could have easily taken care of all of that. And so it's amazing to me that they can really find justification in this, because he had no drugs. He had no gun in the car. So I don't know how this officer was no bills. By the way, for the record, for anybody who may not know, this same officer was nominated for Officer of the Year since the shooting. And so, you know, that speaks volumes for the atmosphere in the Fort Worth Police Department. That's almost as though they are saying they co-signed what he did, which means if we don't do more, this will happen again, because they're saying we're okay with that. He did a good thing.
Exactly.
Nominating him, they're saying we think this is a good thing. I mean, I don't know how else to take that. You agree with that, Dr. Spencer?
Well, I think that, you know, for the team, you know, he took the L for the team, and the system, including the prosecutor, you know, the system was manipulated in order to support the death, the murder of Sherrall Thomas. I mean, from the traffic stop on, there was a consistent chain of breaches of their own procedures and their own protocol, from the traffic stop, from the surveillance to the traffic stop, to Officer Romer admittedly putting his hands in the car to attempt to remove Sherrall from the car, to him jumping on the car in his attempt to prohibit Mr. Thomas from fleeing, to the officer shooting inside of the car, was just a whole chain of breaches of their own policy and procedure. And so I'm shocked that, you know, he would get a nomination for Officer of the Year based on those violations. But then again, when you look at what the real purpose of the stop was, and their whole profile that Sherrall was transporting drugs, which he was not, you know, then it's understandable. And I think as a community, we have to start to really look at the way that our people are being profiled and the way that these homicides are being justified through manipulating the system.
I completely agree. If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight. We're dealing with part two of the Sherrall Rara Thomas shooting. Justify or homicide? We're talking to the Thomas family. We're talking to the passenger that was in the vehicle that night, Mr. Cardale Davis. And we're also talking with Dr. Zoe Spencer. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, if you would post it up in bold, and I will present it to the panel by the end of the evening. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Okay, y'all, we're going to the phone lines. Area code 817. 77. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
This is my name is Alicia.
Okay.
And I am one of the mothers of the children.
Wow.
They were in the car.
Wow.
And the family and the children's mothers are very upset about the decision that was made by the grand jury.
Wow.
And I feel that the grand jury was, how heartless could you be? How inconsiderate of the children could you be? How inconsiderate of the passengers could you be? So allow this man to even still be on the force. How can you give this man still permission to walk around with a firearm? Me personally, I feel like that man shouldn't even be allowed to carry a taser.
That man should be in jail, but okay.
Because if you do this to this man, who else would you do it to?
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
I do. I absolutely do. Let me ask you this. I understand that the kids were at the scene, and the mothers went to the scene immediately when they heard about it, and you all weren't even allowed access to your kids immediately, even though they had been traumatized.
It took me 15 minutes to get to my child.
Wow. What were they saying to you?
They pulled me off to the side, pulled me away from the crowd. One of the mothers was already there. If I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Yes, one of the mothers was already there. But it took me 15 minutes, and they told me that I had to wait before I get to my child.
Wait for what?
They told me I had to wait.
Wow.
I had to wait. Because they were parked down by the incident, and I had to wait for the car to come around that was carrying the children. And it took 15 minutes for me to even hold my child.
How?
And do you know how devastating that is? And when you get to your child is screaming.
Wow.
And hollering.
Mm. Wow.
Why did they do this to my daddy?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? It's not just one child. It's all three of them.
Wow. And so.
And it was a shock when we made it to where they was to be talked to by the counselors. Mm-hmm. They had already pronounced Rara deceased.
Oh, really? Okay, so he wasn't pronounced that at the hospital. He was already pronounced that at the scene.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
The children told me that they heard this over the radio.
Oh,
the
no.
police radio.
No. Oh, my goodness.
That their daddy was deceased.
So have the kids received counseling yet?
Yes, ma'am.
They have?
Yes, ma'am.
The kids are in counseling on a regular basis?
Yes, ma'am.
So, okay, so we got misinformation that the children were not in counseling.
There's an R2 in counseling.
All the kids are in counseling?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And how are they doing since they got counseling?
I haven't spoke with the older two children.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got a chance, you know, just to talk to them or
okay.
to see them.
Okay.
But as far as my child,
she doesn't
talk much, but until the counselor, she doesn't come home and talk about it.
Okay.
She doesn't open up to friends. She doesn't open up to family. It's just the counselor that she talks to.
Wow.
So it's just pretty much that she has shut down on the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you this. Is she a different child than before this happened?
She's pretty much her bubbly self.
Okay.
She's pretty much her bubbly self until she hears gunfire.
Wow.
Or
what happens when she hears gunfire?
A TV show with gunfire. We were watching a movie, and there was random shooting in the movie, and she was sitting on the floor, and when that scene came up, she came and jumped in my arms.
Wow.
And she covered her face up, and I asked her, I said, Tara, is that too much for you? And she said, yes, ma'am. So I had to turn the TV off.
Wow. So there's problems, I mean, which is understandable. I mean, it's absolutely understandable.
Right.
I'll tell you what, we're going to leave your phone line open, and we got to go to some more callers, but we're going to leave your phone line open, and I'm going to come back to you in just a second. Okay, we're going to go to area code 817-209. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Hi, my name is Nakia, and I'm calling on behalf of the Stop This community and on behalf of Rawa.
Okay.
And I pretty much just want to put it out there about Stop This community. First of all, the perception of what people have put Stop This community to be out there is completely false. Stop This community is a loving community, a supportive community, and we all come together as one. I really believe in my heart that it should be a protest on October 28th for Rara, you know, because it was a senseless, heartless death. And it was definitely a homicide, in my opinion, on how the officer did him. You know, it just don't make no sense, you know, to have to take him like that in front of those babies.
So you think a protest is supported by the Stop Six community?
Yes. A protest will be definitely supported from Stop Six community. We're not trying to battle. Ain't nobody trying to battle. Ain't nobody trying to go to war with the police. It's clearly that they will kill you for any reason at all. I'm terrified of the police. Anytime I see an officer, I get nervous and scared, thinking they're about to just shoot me up because they will shoot you for any reason. Clearly, everyone know that now. But I believe that, you know, that we need to come together and stand up for Ra-Ra, because it's not right on what they did to him. It's not right for Tara, Ra-Ra, Dad. It's not right for Miss Brenda, Patricia, none of them. It's not right at all, and we need to stand up, and I believe everyone will come together in the Southeast community and have a protest, a good, decent protest.
No violence, everybody.
Don't y'all
have a day, some type of
a
parade out there in
Stop Six already? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Carey. We have a day that is acknowledged by leaders. It's always acknowledged in the newspapers, and it's also a day that Ra-Ra supported for the whole community. Kids, he loved the kids. And, you know, and I believe that Stop Six will come together and will be a decent, fair protest for Ra-Ra, which something needs to be done, so justice needs to be done, because it was wrong. Okay, and then you shooting them 12 times. If you feel like your life is in danger, or if you feel like you're trying to get him to stop a vehicle that you caused to move, then why 12 times? Why so many times?
Mm-hmm.
You're shooting here, and I agree with Cardell Davis. It seems like a hit. Like they was really trying to kill him.
Wow.
There's no reason. The evidence is clearly right there. Everything, the witness, you got the witness statements and everything is right there. So I'm not understanding, how did he get away with killing this man? Like Alicia said, his baby mama said, how is he able to still walk around with his badge? And then he's been acknowledged for the officer of the year after you kill a black man in front of his kids. He loved his kids. He had his kids every day. That was his life. That's all Ra-Ra talked about and was thought about, was his kids. His kids, his kids, his kids. And it's going to affect those kids for the rest of their life. I don't have my mother, and I know. You know how I feel. It's going to affect those babies. And to see their daddy die in their face, it's hard. And we all need to come together as a Southeast community, come together. Everyone needs to get their signs, their shirts. Everyone that came out, zoom in the day he died. Everyone that was there to protest the next day, we all need to be right back out there protesting from Rosedale right to where his truck stopped and protest for him. We all need to stand up and fight for Ra-Ra. And I believe in my heart, and I know I've been in Stop Six over 20 years. It's the only place I know. And I know how my community works, and we all will come together for Ra-Ra, because everybody loved Ra-Ra. He was a peaceful person, a loving person, will help anybody, and he loved the people.
So that was Nikki, y'all, and she put it to us, I guess, as clear as anybody could. The Stop Six community loved Ra-Ra. And they feel like a protest is needed. So we're going to see about that, y'all. We're going to go to area code 817-919. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Yes, this is Shayla.
Hi, Shayla. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm a friend of Ra-Ra, but, like, since it happened, I mean, after they targeted him, I went out of town for a funeral. And while I was gone, the police passed by my house. And my sister said they were pouring back at my house. This was like in March. So June 3rd, task force hit my house for no reason. But they say because they saw drugs in front of my house, which in reality, the only reason why they hit my house is because back in March I was representing 11 million Ra-Ra on my car. So them passing by the street and seeing my car, the day they were pointing at my house, that's what it was about. But anyway, they end up hitting my house. They didn't find any drugs or anything. They never apologized for breaking down my door, scaring my baby, pulling their guns on me. None of that.
They pulled their guns?
They had their guns drew on me.
Wow.
By the time I made it to my room, go to check on my baby because I heard something break. Then I heard all this noise and don't know what was going on because I was in my room and she was in the living room. So, after they searched my house and didn't find anything, the guy, Jason, he brought me in the house and he asked me, he was like, so who sells drugs around here? If you tell us who sells drugs, we'll go kick in their door. The whole time he's like, well, I want to believe you, but I bought drugs in front of your house. I said, okay, first you said in front of my house. Did you knock on my door and get the drugs? So he was like, well, no. We got it at your yard. I said, okay. He said on the streets a while ago, now he's been in my yard. So, I mean, it's just an ongoing thing. And like Nakia said, we have to stand up. It's not just for Raro, but it's for us. Because if we don't, it's just going to keep being an ongoing thing. And it's going to be like his death is in vain.
Now, I heard that
Carrie, before you go, I would after the show, I need to, the young lady who is speaking right now, I need to get her name and her information, because a large part of what I'm going to be involved in is getting the federal, the FBI Civil Rights Division to come in and do an investigation. And one of the things that has to be done is a pattern has to be set. So I'm going to just say this on the air. This is Stop Stigma's opportunity to be heard. And so if there is anyone who has had an incident like yours, from the Fort Worth Police Department, I am encouraging you to write down your statement, put the date, and forward that information to me so that I can collect it and submit it to the people that I'm working with on this. So please let me get your information before you hang up the line, okay?
Okay. Okay. I'll put you in contact with LaShayla. LaShayla, I have your information, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll give you her information. So, thank you, LaShayla. But let me ask you something before I let you go, LaShayla. Isn't it true that there was not just you that got hit, but a lot, but some other people that were connected with Rah Rah got harassed by the police as well?
Yes, one of his baby mamas, Leslie. She's also, but she had to, like, where she went to the place and got it on. And they targeted her and her for a minute. So it's just like anybody that represented and they saw that day, they targeted. Like one guy at leaving the funeral, they pulled him over and they said for evading arrest.
Wow. Just for leaving, just after he left Rah Rah's funeral.
Well, we were leaving the site from Craven. We were leaving from down there,
wow,
going back to the park, and they pulled him over. It was like a whole bunch of police cars for them, one car.
It was 10 of them.
There
was 10 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
10? It was 10 of them. I counted 10.
And they accused him of like, evading arrest, and he hadn't done anything?
Mm-hmm.
I counted 10.
Now, Fort Worth, y'all are not playing fair. Fort Worth Police Department, that is not playing fair. I mean, seriously. But you all want the community to trust you and respect your badge, which we're supposed to do. We don't have to like the person, but we're supposed to respect your badge. But how can you respect someone who's wearing a badge that treats the citizens who are they are sworn in to protect this way? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Thank you, LaShayla. I'm gonna move on, but thank you. Or did you have anything else you wanted to add before I moved on?
Yeah, it was just like he said, they wouldn't let him use the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anything. And it was just me and my baby here. And it was like 10 hours, but I couldn't call my mom. I couldn't call nobody.
Told them you wanted to make a phone call, and they told you you couldn't call nobody?
When they first came in, I asked them what was going on, and they said, we'll tell you in a minute. So they went, after they told me to get on the ground and had their guns on me, I got on the ground, they put me in handcuffs. He set me on my bed, and then when he set me on my bed, he looked in my closet. And then he said, we have a search warrant to search your house. Never once they showed me that search warrant. So by the time I made it to the front, they was like, well, do you know T-Bone and some other name? And I'm like, no. So when they got me outside, my baby was on the curb. They had her on the curb questioning her.
What?
His wife got outside. So I said, well, can I call my mama? And they was like, well, no, what do you need to call your mama for? I said, for one, my baby probably scared. And for two, I don't know what's going on. He was like, well, that's when he told me that they had a search warrant to search my house. Never did they show me the search warrant. Never.
Did they tell you they had a search warrant when they were already in your house?
No.
Wait a minute. What she's asking you is before they entered the house, did they say we have a search warrant and at least show you the search warrant before they ever even entered the premises?
No, I was in my room. My baby was in the living room. So I heard something go boom and break. So my thing was, I was trying to ask her what happened. Then I heard all this noise. I'm thinking somebody breaking in my house. I don't know what's going on. So by the time I made it to my room door, they were, like, coming to the house, and they were like, get out with their guns, bro, pointing at me, telling me to get on the ground. So never did they say they had a search warrant. I asked what was going on, and they was like, we'll tell you in a minute. They put me in.
Wow. Do you know the date? Well, can you give me the date on that?
I have the date. I have the they left the search warrant on my kitchen table.
Okay. Okay. Well, trust me, Dr. Zoe is going to get with you on that. Thank you, LaShayla. We're going to have to move on. We got some other callers, but thank you so much for calling in. I do appreciate you, and I appreciate what you did this week helping us out, so I appreciate that. Area code 917-261. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Yeah, I just wanted to find you. You are fine as hell, girl. Oh, my God. Look at your picture.
Thank you. Okay, who is this?
Are you sure?
This is who?
I sure.
Did you know Ra-Ra?
No, I was just coming through the Block Talk Radio, and I saw your picture. I was like, damn, so let me see what she got to say.
Okay. So are you connected with the story at all?
Yeah, I heard about it, but I don't know how the hell that happened. That's so freaky to me. That never really happened yet. Well, they are some crazy people, so that's sad. I really feel bad for them. But we just called this to see what that was you, and we were going to donate money to the show.
Oh, y'all was going to donate money to the show to help this cause?
Actually, we was donating. We didn't know about Ra when we were listening. We were like, oh, we were like,
wow. Okay. Wow. Well, thank you for calling in tonight. Area code 215-725. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Good evening. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I was looking through Block Talk Radio, and whenever I see a topic like this, I definitely have to listen in and call in. So I've been listening to a while. I've heard about the story of Ra-Ra, and besides his story, quite a few other stories of handicapped people or the people with disabilities who have been abused by police and killed. And there was a kid with autism that was recently arrested and beaten and falsely charged. But, you know, this is not a new thing. This has been going on forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back in the 60s. I mean, I'm 59 years old. I saw the NYPD
mm-hmm.
actually shoot a man while he was handcuffed on the ground, facing up. The detective went right over him, fired two shots in his chest, and grinned like nothing. And this was very common then. And believe it or not, you would think that the killing of another human being will make TV at all times. But there was a lot of killings that never actually even made the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were a lot of bodies that were found in certain places that were by police. When the police were around your neighborhood and they pointed at you,
mm-hmm.
and they said they wanted you, they got you. They did. You know,
wow.
being raised in the South Bronx and Spanish Harlem, you know, I seen too much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of that. I myself was a victim of police brutality at the age of 16. While they were closing a fire hydrant, I went over to a can to get some water. The cop didn't like the idea that I was going to get some water, so I get kicked in the chest, I get thrown to the ground. Four white cops climb on me, beat me with nightsticks, kick, punch me, call me all kinds of racial slurs, you name it. They threw me in the car. I hit my head on the door. They picked me up, threw me in again, and then they drove about 15 miles an hour, beating me inside the car, all the way to the Fort Apache Police Precinct, which everyone knows. They even made a movie about it. So this is nothing old, you know. But what out of bad comes out good, and what I'm seeing today is that people are finally waking up.
Yeah.
You know, the 60s, when the Black Panther Party and the Young Lords Party, which I was a member of,
right.
I was out there in the streets and I took my hits and we did what we had to do. And we actually monitored the police. We actually, when the police came into our neighborhood, we monitored them. The guy was a criminal. He was going to get locked up. Fine. We didn't stop that. But
so
he was not going to be abused. And we monitored, and so did the Fruit of Islam from Elijah Muhammad. They should also send their people out there to monitor, because that's how bad it was. Every
so, Paula, are you saying that people got to do something? They got to stand up and do something?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, you know what? It's happening now. You know, you see this Occupy Wall Street stuff right now. It's a little passive, but this is mostly white America.
Right.
Who's beginning to realize, hey, we protest.
Right.
You know, they're beginning to realize that this just don't happen to black Americans. This has been happening to them, too, because the police are out of hand.
So the community has to realize if you want change, sometimes you got to stand up for it.
You got to take it to the street.
Wow.
You got to take it to the street sometime, man. You know, at one time we had some great leaders that took us there.
Right.
But, you know, all the leaders were shot dead. Any leader that we ever had was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Assassinated by the U.S. government.
And you know what, Heller? It really might be something that has been with me this last week. Sometimes it needs to be a changing of the guard, because sometimes, you know, the old way of thinking, it just doesn't work for today. And sometimes the older guards are not ready to move over and let fresh ideas come forth. But sometimes it just needs to be a changing of the guard. I thank you so much for your call tonight. We got to move on. But again, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Thank you much.
Okay. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up area code 817-724. Good evening. You're on center stage. Area code 817-724. Good evening.
Hello.
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 Hello. You're on.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh.
You're on the call.
Hello.
Yes, caller, you're on.
Okay. How you doing today?
Well, I'm good, and how are you?
I'm doing all right. But,
what's your question or comment?
This is a question I didn't really quick.
Okay.
Where is the law line?
I'm sorry?
Where is the officer now?
Officer Romer?
Yeah, so what's going on with that?
They no-billed it, which means they found him not guilty of any wrongdoing.
Not guilty?
Yeah. Well, he's not, they didn't find that he did anything wrong.
Oh, okay. What's your name again?
I'm Carrie.
Okay, Carrie.
Okay. Is that your only comment or question?
No, ma'am.
Okay, what's your other question? Okay, call
it. I think it's good what you're doing and all that, you know. But I don't think it's right because, you know, I guess because, you know, we're in Stop Six.
You're out of the Stop Six community.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
All the way to the Cavino Project.
Okay. Will Stop Six support a protest over there about this?
Yeah, we was there zooming.
No, I'm saying, went there to that vigil that night.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So on October 28th, Stop Six community will support a protest.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Paula, you have any other comments or questions?
And I think we deserve a protest.
You what?
I think we deserve a protest.
Okay. Let your voice be heard tonight. If you think there should be a protest October 28, 2011, we're going to call it Occupy Rosedale Street on behalf of Ra-Ra. If you think there should be a protest on Rosedale, the path that will be taken or the route that day would be, for those that are familiar with Fort Worth, it would be from the corner of Tierney and Rosedale, which is right there at that park, all the way down Rosedale 20. And then at 820, it would take a turn to the right at Cravens and go along that access road to the point that Ra-Ra's cars stop at night, which would be at Cravens and Lucas. if you support that, y'all need to get on the phone line tonight, because there have been some people in Fort Worth this week who have said that the Stop 6 community is too volatile, that it's like a powder keg, and if a protest took place, you all would not be able to handle it, and somebody might get hurt. Now, I was told somebody could be, the police may incite something, or somebody within the Stop 6 community might incite something. So I think I need the street to represent tonight and tell us, can y'all take care of the community if a protest goes down over there? Or is it a situation in which, as this pastor told me, it's too volatile over there? It, you know, it's too emotional. I don't know. I have to ask that. Who was that speaking?
This is Alicia.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel that a protest is well deserved, and I feel that the black community, the Stop 6 community, can handle that. What they fail to realize, they look at the past of how things used to be, and they fail to realize that the majority of the people have grew up and have recognized their mistakes and want to do better, have done better, and now they're underestimating the people of the Stop 6 community because they think they all just drug heads and gang bangers and drug dealers and uneducated people. There's plenty of educated people in the South.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're stereotyping.
Exactly.
They have profiled the South 6 community of what they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they have to fail to realize, yes, there's going to be a lot of anger. Why? Because you have took a major person, a major supporter out of that community.
Mm-hmm.
That they're provided not just for the kids, but also when the grown adults needed help as well. So I feel that a protest is much needed.
So the street
much
would
needed.
The Stop 6 community as a whole, you think would support a protest? Occupy Rosedale would be the name of the protest on behalf of Rara on October 28th. So you feel that the community would support that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So all of the preachers who have said that they thought that y'all couldn't handle a protest, you would disagree with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm just asking y'all, if y'all think that's, you know, that statement is a false statement, that Stop 6 can't handle it, then maybe y'all need to make that known, because I think that if I were living in the Stop 6 community and that happened, I would very much think that I would want somebody to say something and do something to help us out there. And it seems like those people that are trying to reach out to help you all, like Dr. Zoe Spencer, they're being criticized. And I think,
and
like myself, being criticized. I mean, I've been persecuted, y'all, this week. I mean, mercilessly by certain people. And I can't even believe the people that said it are people that I thought were working towards the same cause. But that's another show, y'all. So, Alicia, I appreciate that. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to try to pick up area code 682-597. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hello. How you doing?
Hi. How you doing?
My name is Derek Houston. And I was a very close friend of Rara.
Really?
Since he first came to Fort Worth. And I'm like, I got a question in the comment, because the question is, what do we do now that the officer has been no bill? What is our next step besides the protest? Because I'm fully behind the protest, because, you know, we have been railroaded for so long. You know, I've been in South 6 area, the east side of Fort Worth, all my life. And, like, you know, it's a lot of us that have had, you know, blemishes in our background, and like they still hold it against us. And that's what I feel like what has happened, because they feel like we got spotty backgrounds that our word don't mean anything, but it do. And like, you know, like I said, I got a big play, you know, in our area, and I feel like that, you know, we need the protest, and I'm fully behind it, but what is the next step legally that we can do to make something happen?
That's
I don't want to say, you know, too much on the show. I'm hoping by October 28th that we will have great progress. But my purpose at this point is to get your Fort Worth Police Department to reevaluate its own evidence. And if Fort Worth Police Department is listening, I am speaking to you. to reevaluate its own evidence because I have it and I've reviewed it, and I'm hoping to call to their conscience that they will step up and undo the cover-up that they have going on. Also, I am calling to, and I will prepare, to call to the prosecutor to resubmit Sherrall Thomas's case to a grand jury and not play with the system, because what happened with the no bill, and this is the trend that's going on, and you brothers and sisters should understand this. There's a trend, an escalating trend of police homicides, and what they're doing is they're playing with the system. And so, you know, I have to acknowledge, based on what I've read and what I've heard, that the grand jury didn't have the information that it needed to have, and the information wasn't presented to them objectively mm-hmm. enough for them to be able to understand what really happened. And so the prosecutor is in a position to manipulate the grand jury, and that's for the lack of a better word, because I don't feel like being politically correct right now.
Uh-huh.
And if they don't present the evidence, and if they don't ask the right questions to objectively and without bias give the grand jury the information that it needs to pursue it, then the no bill is the result. So what we have to do now is we have to go back and we have to present the evidence that's necessary for them to take it back to the grand jury. And I want Fort Worth to be on notice, the police department and the prosecutor's office, that, you know, this is a serious matter. And, you know, I think they think that we don't know our rights and we're not able to research and, you know, people may be scared or fearful. You know, the police officers using intimidation tactics or what have you. You know, I want them to understand that this is serious. Rob represents, you know, a host of African-American men who have been murdered over the last couple of years. And so if they don't do the right thing, then the feds are going to come in and they're going to check into it to force them to do the right thing. So we're not just going to stop with the protest. I do want you to know that, you know, I've committed to Mr. Thomas's family. I've committed to Carrie, and I'm definitely going to see it through.
Derek, how can Dr. Zoe Spencer connect with you?
I'm very close with the family, and they have ways of contacting me. And like I say, I fully support the protest. And like, I just was really in my position. I really didn't know the next move. And like, I feel iron sharpens iron. So I feel like the information that y'all have, you know, we can connect with each other and know our next move, and we can move as a unit. As one unit. And
Carrie,
that way we won't be separated. Yeah, and I very much like it, because like I said, I was a very close friend of very, very close friend of Rob. And I feel like, you know, I'm not gonna take this land down personally, you know, and like I said, I'm from the same community, so the South Sister community, so we are for it. And I don't care, you know, people that's not for it, they need to just go ahead and back down and let everybody that's willing to make a move, because, you know, this happens too much all around the United States, every day almost, and that's sad.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I feel like we need to go ahead and make this power move and, you know, let them understand that we're not just taking this land down. Like I said, I knew Rob personally, and he wasn't no violent person like that, like they portray him to be. And like, they just go off that, off your background. They figure out, like, you know, they go off paperwork and feel like, you know, oh, this, you got this. But that wasn't the type of person he was, because they knew him personally. Like, I knew him personally, and he was not like that at all.
So
in no kind of way.
Can I make a request? Because at the time, you know, one of the things that police officers and judicial systems are doing is they're villainizing African-American men and they're criminalizing African-American men, and then they're using the stereotype to justify the homicide. And so
exactly.
One thing that I think that we need to do as people is that we need to stop buying into the stereotypes of our own people and our own communities. And I can say this because I'm from the projects as well. The doctor, I don't want the doctor to fool anyone. I am from the projects, and I grew up in the projects, and just like the other caller was saying, you know, people have this perception that's created about the projects, like everyone in the projects or everyone in a certain community has to be a criminal, and this is what gives them force to justify the homicide.
Sherrod Thomas was an innocent man who had no drugs in the car at the time that he was murdered. He was guilty until proven innocent by death. And that is completely unacceptable. So, let you know, whatever happened in the past, I don't know, you know, what happened with him in the past, but as far as I'm concerned, Sherrod Thomas was an innocent man and a great father to his children. That's all I've heard, and that's what
I'm saying. And I have one more comment, if you don't mind me saying. I feel like everybody should start a movement with the I Am Sherrod Thomas, and everybody should have a movement
absolutely
with T-shirts and everything instead of, you know, representing the hood. I understand that. But I feel like everybody should go with the I Am Sherrod Thomas, just like Troy Davis, rest in peace, Sherrod Thomas, rest in peace. We
absolutely
should go with that movement. Understand that him as a man, as an individual, as the part he played into the community instead of not with, you know, the media portrayed or what the police feel like
that's
he was,
right,
you know.
Amen.
And like I feel like I Am Sherrod Thomas, and I fully support that. I'm behind that, you know, until the day that I pass. Hopefully it's not that instance. Like I said, I'm really behind the family. You know, I support the family, all his baby mamas, and everybody in the community. You know, I try to speak for everybody because I feel like this should be the last. This should be the first and the last row, so it would not happen again to nobody else, mother, father, brother, sister.
Let me ask you, Derek, do you think the Star City community would support a protest?
Yeah, they don't have no choice. It shouldn't be no choice. There shouldn't be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yes. There's no way around it. Yes.
Derek?
Well, I'm Sherrod
yes
Thomas, too, and I'll be there.
Yeah, that's a new movement. I Am Sherrod Thomas, and I feel everybody should feel the same way.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sherrod, for calling in. Listen, you know, for you all that's in the chat room, I am paying attention, and Mr. Omeek, whatever that last name was, he was just kicked out of the chat room because one thing we will be is respectful to this family, this show. And so whatever your views are, if you feel the way you do, this is not the show for it. And so I do have the ability with a click to remove you from my chat room, and a few minutes ago I used it. So moving on. Thomas family. Let it be known how you all feel about a protest on October 28th. Thomas family.
Yes, we're all for that.
Patricia Thomas, Norma Renee Thomas.
We're all for that. Patricia, we're for it.
Okay. So the family supports a protest on the 28th?
Yes. Is my mother on the line?
What area code was she calling in from?
573.
Her on the line. Give me one second. There's a lot. Okay, I do see. Miss Thomas, how are you? Brenda Thomas? Brenda Thomas?
Hello?
Miss Thomas? Yes. We opened the phone line for Brenda Thomas?
Yes, ma'am. This is Brenda Thomas.
Hi. This is the mother of Sherrod Thomas. How you doing, Ms. Thomas?
I'm doing fine.
And you have our condolences. You know, is there anything that you would like us to know about this whole situation?
I don't know what's going on.
I just don't know what's going on.
Can she come closer to the phone?
Put it out like this.
Can she come a little closer to the phone?
Hello, y'all?
Yeah. Well, is there anything you want to say about what happened?
You feel it. All
right. I feel like everything they talk about is not right by the police. And I want the people to talk about it and everything like that. And I am really feeling so sad about my grandkids.
Okay, bring her closer to the phone, please. You're feeling what about the grandkids, please, Ms. Thomas?
I was so upset about my grandkids, what happened in
that
car.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So you're upset about what happened with your grandkids in the car?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And so you feel like it was fair that they no-billed the officer the way that they did?
They didn't do the proper thing. They were wrong what they did.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I think everybody on this phone line tonight, with the exception of the person that I kicked out of the chat room, is in agreement with that. And so, We can barely hear her. Can someone bring her closer to the phone?
Hello?
Let my sister speak, Audrey Thomas.
Okay, Audrey, can you come to the phone and speak?
Oh, Patricia. Mama,
okay, we're getting, if you all have the computer on in the same room with the phone, you're going to get a feedback. So if you're going to speak, you probably have to leave the room that the computer is in. Okay, did I lose you all? Okay. Let me try their phone lines again. I think the boards just went blank for a second. I think we lost that call. If she can, just call back in, Patricia, if you all could tell her some kind of way we lost that connection. But the Thomas family is for a rally, a protest. Okay, I'm gonna, her, she's back on the phone line. We're going to try to open her back up again. Good evening. Good evening, Ms. Thomas. 573-489, good evening. Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Is this the Thomas family?
I'm trying to say. Hello?
Yes. Okay, we're having
some. This is Della.
Sorry?
This is Della Shirazi.
Yes.
Bella?
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all need to speak to me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Uh-huh.
Okay. The Thomas family feel that everything that's going on, police did to my uncle was not right.
Okay.
The state of Missouri, stuff like that, you get crazy. And I understand that they shot my uncle several times.
Yeah.
And I believe that instead of shooting him, why didn't they, like, taser him or something?
Right. So you think it was just not fair that they shot him so many times when they could have tased him and got him out?
The whole situation was wrong.
Okay. So do you all support a protest up there in Missouri?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We coming up there to march for my uncle.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to be down there October 28th.
Yes. Oh, yes. Is there anything else y'all like to say?
Yes. My cousin, Chad Thomas, is on
it. Okay. Bring him to the phone.
Yeah, this is Chad Thomas, man. I feel like the whole situation wasn't right. But, you know what I'm saying, the evidence presents itself. It ain't no camera showing nothing. And we all know whenever the police pull someone over, the camera's running regardless. You know what I'm saying? That's what I don't understand. Y'all didn't find no drugs, no weapons, no none of that. It's clearly, you know what I'm saying, it's just like the Shine Bell case. You know what I'm saying? It's constantly happening all over America. And I'm tired of it. You know what I'm saying? And it's getting worse. It's all over the state. You know what I'm saying? This ain't the first time it happened.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. I absolutely agree.
What I'm saying? We need to apologize to the Thomas family, to my Aunt Brenda. You know what I'm saying? He was a good man all in all. You know what I'm saying? It ain't right. It just flat out ain't right. You know what I'm saying? And me being the person I am, knowing the streets, that don't happen. It just don't go down like that. They wanted that man gone, period. Point blank, they couldn't get him on no type of arrest, so they did what any other police officer would do and killed him. That's how it was. He was a positive influence on me, my family, and the whole Stop Six and the community as a whole. You know what I'm saying? This man is mourned all over the United States of America. Some people don't even know this man, and they look up to this guy. You know what I'm saying? This was a good dude all in all, and they took a good person, man. They took a real good person and it hurt me, you know what I'm saying? I didn't get to say goodbye like everybody else got to say goodbye to my cousin. And they was dead wrong for what they did, and I need justice.
Right.
Otherwise, we going to still be here. We still going to march. We going to do whatever necessary for, you know what I'm saying, Fort Worth, PD, till we get this right.
Wow. Love that. And you know what? I agree with you. And you seem like you're a young man. And I think young energy today, y'all, says if we don't stand up for something, we just gonna get rolled over. And so I think today the mood in the whole country is if things are not right, it's time to stand up. And I think that's what I hear the younger generation saying. I think that's what I hear Stop Six saying. And so on the 28th of October, that seems like what needs to happen.
We will be up there. The Thomas family will be up there in person, not over no phone or none of that. We will be up there with our RIP shirts on to Rai Rai. We'll be up there marching.
Wow. Okay.
And we can't do nothing about it to stop it.
Wow. Love that. Thank you. I'm going to leave you all phone line open, and I'm going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up area code 318-200. Good evening. You're on center stage. Area code 318-200. Good evening.
I just want to say thank you for letting the public get a clear to this, you know what I'm saying, because it's a lot of stuff that's uncovered, not hidden, and at the end, it's going to come to light. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you sweep up under the rug, once you look it up, it's going to be there. It ain't no mystery, man. That's what I'm saying. I'm so confused because it's like everything right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm not there. I wasn't there when it happened or none of that, but it's like I can play it in my head over and over and over, and it hurts me to death, man. It does. How do you shoot an unarmed man on his daughter's birthday? You know what I'm saying?
I know where he lives at.
So if y'all really had this big of a problem to go with him, why y'all didn't send the FBI or anybody else? If he was such of a man of an organization or he had drugs or a place, why y'all didn't send a bigger task force to handle that? That's what y'all do for the mobs, don't y'all? That's what they do, don't they?
Hey, that's true.
They need to back their investigation right. You know what I'm saying? They went in it with hand on the trigger. It wasn't no question. If you drug someone, put a few blocks, you're going to see stroke in the blazer. More than that, his clothes are going to be covered. How you can drug blocks, but you're still able to have your hand or no gun to Superman's truck full of innocent bystanders. That's what they were. They weren't just rah-rah.
Hey, y'all, give me 1 second. The boards just went crazy. We're going to give it a second, too. Come back. Dr. Zoe, were you saying something?
No, this is Cordell. Can I say something?
So go ahead, Cordell.
If they wanted him that bad, he lived in a circle. They could have blocked him in and blocked him in from not leaving. But they said they was in a circle with us in an unmarked car, and the van was right down the street.
Okay.
They could have blocked the circle off then.
Okay.
See,
very true.
He's in a closed-in circle right there. One way out.
So there was nowhere to go.
One way out, they wanted to block him in and do that. You know what I'm saying? We got to know what they're saying. They're lying all the way around here.
Completely do. Zoe, are you saying something?
No, not yet.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines, and I'm going to pick up area code 631-388. I don't think I've come to you yet. Good evening, you're on center stage. Got noise in their background if they would mute their phone right now, please. Area code 631-383. Okay, my phone, my board, kind of a second. Okay, somebody needs to mute their background, please. Otherwise, if someone doesn't mute, I have to mute everybody because that noise.
Man, please put your phone, man. This is very important, man. Please put your phone.
Okay, mute your phone. Whoever has the noise in your background, please. Okay. I have to go back and mute everybody, y'all, simply because I can't determine unless I mute everybody. Is that your background?
Yeah.
Dr. Zoe, is that your background?
No, it's not.
Is that your background? are going crazy, y'all.
Thanks, Amanda.
When there's too many callers on the board, it just freezes, and it's freezing right now. But I think what I see that's consistent is that everybody is in agreement that a rally or protest, you know, I am Sherrall Thomas and Occupy Rosedale is needed. I mean, it's absolutely needed, and I think
President Obama should be in attendance. How I feel.
I think y'all need to write him a letter. I mean, seriously, it's election season. I think a letter would be in order to tell him that he needs to step up and do something. I apologize, 631. I am not able to open your phone lines for some reason. We're completely freezing because there's so many callers.
We need to march down there to City Hall where they had their offices and stuff and let them know what's going on the street every day.
Trust me, they don't know you marching. If you just take to the streets on roads, they'll know you're there. Trust me, they listening tonight. They know you're going on the 28th. I think what needs to happen, Mr. Davis, is you need to tell them how you have been affected since this happened.
It gave me a nervous breakdown. I have nightmares every night.
Really?
I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Every night.
Oh, my God.
It's just mind-boggling.
So you have not been the same since you went through this?
I had to see a psych doctor. I'm on psych now.
Are you serious?
No, I'm telling you the truth.
Oh, wow. So you were a different person before this happened than you are now?
Totally different.
Wow.
Totally changed my life.
Wow.
Carrie, I did want to interject something. I want to keep this in the forefront as well, and I'm going to bring race into the equation, you know, really, really quickly, because I think that just the same way that Fort Worth did not consider the three young children that were in the back. I mean, you know, I'm in D.C. and it's loving my children and loving my folks, you know, the way that other people love their folks, it still sticks to me, because you had an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 10-year-old sitting in the back of the car where multiple gunshots are being fired from different directions, okay? And the fact that none of the officers were even brought to the table for the reckless endangerment of those young folks is appalling to me. And I can only imagine if Sherrall Thomas was a Caucasian doctor, medical doctor, who got pulled over for a routine traffic stop and felt that he was being railroaded, as I'm sure Mr. Thomas did, and to have officers shoot inside of his car with his three young children in the car, I am quite sure that there would be a national outrage.
Absolutely.
And so I do want to keep at the forefront that, Mr. Thomas, you know, we're talking, and I appreciate what Mr. Davis is saying, but I want to speak for those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those children had to sit in the back, you know, and the your media talked about it as if, oh, they witnessed their father's death. No, they didn't just witness their father's death. They faced death being in that car by themselves, and it's only by the grace of God that those children were protected from those bullets. And so I'm, again, calling to them to step up and take responsibility. Officer Romer was not the only person shooting in that car, and I'm encouraging Fort Worth to step up and take responsibility for that.
Okay, whoever's background that is, please mute it. I think it's coming from one of the Thomas family phones. If it is, please mute your background. We're going to try to pick up one more phone call. Listen, if you just tuned in, you come to the stage tonight. We're talking about the Sherrall Ross Thomas shooting, justified or homicide, part two. On the phone line, y'all, we got the Thomas family. We got Mr. Cardell Davis, who was a passenger in the car that night. And we also have with us Dr. Zoe Spencer. Listen, it's been a really action-packed night so far, but we still got a couple more calls we need to get to. If you're on the phone lines, we only have about a little over 15 minutes left in this segment of the show. You need to get on the phone lines now. You need to call in at 347-850-8390 and again press 1. If you're already on the phone lines and I've gotten confused, I must apologize with which numbers I have not gone to yet. I think I need to come to 214-245 next. If that is not, if I have already come to you, just take your hand down, and I won't come to you. But I believe that's who I'm supposed to come to next. Also, a reminder, the chat room is open tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, it's split posted up in bold, and I will get to you by the end of the hour. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary and Comics. That is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.africanamericannewsandcommentary.com. Back to the phone lines, and we're going to pick up area code 214-245. Good evening, you're on Center Stage. The phone lines are going crazy. None of the calls are connecting. I apologize, 61 and 245, they're just not connecting. What I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt. Try something that I haven't done before, but my call is so mean. The phone lines are so jammed, y'all. I cannot, for some reason, make these. Let me try something. I apologize, 631. I apologize, 214. It's trying to connect your call, but it's not allowing it. Let's just see. I apologize. We're just going to try to do that a little later. But it seems like to me it's consistent. Everybody seems to be in agreement that this was a wrongful shooting. Ra-Ra did not deserve to die like that. He didn't deserve to die in front of his children. Mr. Davis did not deserve to be sitting in the passenger seat and ducking bullets that could have taken his life. And Fort Worth Police Department, you know, to be honest with you, you all know it's not right. And if there was multiple shooters that night, as Mr. Davis has told us, so some of the other people that were had eyewitness accounts of what happened, they also said the same thing. I think it's your responsibility to come clean about what really happened that night. You know, because if you want the community to trust you, if you're saying that you all are above board, then come clean and say what really happened. Tell us with those statistic reports, you know, if there were multiple shooters or not. We want to know that. And so those are some of the things that we have concerns about, that you all just have not been truthful about everything that happened that night. And I think the community is going to protest on October 28th, with certain demands. Dr. Joe Spencer, what were some of the demands that you all are going to take to the protest on the 28th?
Well, my demand, as you just stated, is number one, I am hopeful that they will stand up, and if they have not reviewed their own evidence, that they will review their own evidence and stand up and acknowledge whether or not there was more than one shooter. I am hopeful that they will reevaluate their own evidence and resubmit the case to the grand jury for an indictment. I am hoping that they will hold all of the officers accountable for the reckless endangerment of the minors. Everyone who was there should be accountable for reckless endangerment to the minors. I'm hopeful that they will all be reprimanded at various levels for the numerous breaches to their own general procedures, and I have them, and in case they're listening, I'm talking about 306.06, 307, and 308. I'm hoping that they will be held accountable for the numerous breaches of their own general procedures that were established to avoid situations like this.
Sorry, say what?
No, that wasn't me.
That wasn't me. Davis? Go ahead and finish, Asha.
You know, that's it right now. And I will say this, that, you know, I'm not issuing an ultimatum because I cannot. But I'm calling to the consciousness of Chief Halstead. Mm-hmm. I'm calling to the consciousness of the members of their Internal Affairs Division. I'm calling to the consciousness of the officers who were present at the time that Sherrall Thomas was shot to death. But I am going to say that on the 28th, you know, I will, you know, at the protest, if they have not acknowledged and done what's right by the people of Stop Six and the family of Sherrall Thomas, his children, his mother, his sisters, his brothers,
then, you know, we will present what we have because we have what you have. So, you know, we're hoping that they do the right thing.
Right. Okay, we're down to just about our last 10 minutes in the show. Thomas family, tell us what you all would like to see happen.
I can see that motherfucker go to hell.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I like to see the police.
Yes, I'm listening.
I like to see justice for my uncle. First of all, for them kids, you know. You know, it'll make everybody feel better than our family. I'm his nephew speaking. Can you hear me?
Right, I can hear you. We can hear you.
Yeah, we just want to, that hurt our whole family, you know, it hit hard, you know, for a couple of us, for a few of us that wasn't around to say goodbye to our family member. No, so I just want to see justice. I want to see him go down because they know they was wrong for what the police department know they was wrong for what they did to our uncle, our family. He was more than just what they made him be, you know. We all looked up to him as a father figure in our lives that we never had. He showed and taught us a lot of things, and we love him dearly. And I would like to see justice. That's all. I would love to see justice. We do need a marshal to stop seeing. I hope everybody hear about this. It really does come, you know, from everybody in the stop seeing community, the Dallas, wherever you at, up here, just come on down there and let's make this thing happen because, you know, just try to do it in a positive way. But like my auntie said, at the end of the day, I like to see him go to hell too, regardless.
Yeah.
This Chad Thomas, this is love, because, you know what I'm saying, for me to be gone when it happened, you know what I'm saying, I feel like if I'd have stayed there, it wouldn't have went down like how it went down, you know what I'm saying, and I want to see justice, you know what I'm saying, it was on my little cousin's birthday, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't just, forget him being a police officer and it being Sherrod, it's just a white officer to a black man, you know what I'm saying. Look at it that way. That's how I look at it. I ain't looking at it as just my cousin. I remember Emmett Till. I remember everything about the black and white. It goes back and forth. You know what I'm talking about? So I feel like if we don't get this, forget that he was even an officer. My cousin was a human being. He was a human being. He took another person's life. And at the end of the day, they found no drugs, no weapons. So it's an unlawful killing at the end of the day, no matter how you look at it. No matter how it went down, what you thought was not in there, you still killed a human being. Okay, you're an officer, don't mean you're above that law, man. I'm telling you, because justice don't get served one way or the other, whether the law do it or the streets do it, and that's all I got to say about it.
Okay, we're not going to condone nothing like that. Come on, and I know, you know what, let's play this. Let me say this, and Pastor Dixon is going to pray with us before the hour's over. I can't get him on the switchboard, so I had to call him on my cell and connect him because I think prayer is needed in this, y'all. I think stop smart enough to have a protest, a nonviolent protest, and still, y'all, we can be as effective as we can be. Because trust me, y'all, Dr. Zoe Spencer is one of the best they got with some pen and paper. So trust me, the right person is working with the family to put some paper on the Justice Department. So let me finish. And I want y'all to understand, we don't need to do nothing crazy. All we need to do is stand up and be heard because God has got our back. All we got to do is let the world know that we don't agree with what happened, but let's do it like Dr. King did it, and let's trust God in this one because, you know what, Fort Worth Police Department is listening tonight. Y'all, don't be fooled. Downtown is listening. Don't be fooled. They know y'all on here tonight, and y'all got on this phone line and told them y'all going to protest. They know that's happening. So all you need to do on October 28th is show up.
I need to throw this out too because I need for the brothers and sisters in the community, you know, Ra-Ra's death is not in vain, and I think that Ra-Ra's death is a catalyst for change in our communities, and I love the saying that I am Sherelle Thomas. So I need for the brothers in the neighborhood and in the community to get together and you know, be strong and change the climate. I also need for y'all to look out for my sister, Carrie Hines, and protect her until I get there. Okay, I'm coming, but y'all got to protect her until I get there because she has definitely taken some hits, and she has put her her safety, her character, and even her own life on the line to fight for Sherelle Thomas. So I need for y'all to stand up for her for me.
Wow. I appreciate that, y'all. Listen, that's going to have to be about it, y'all. But you know what? We said a lot. I hope everybody heard everybody. We're going to let Pastor Dixon come up in just a second and pray with us, because we got to realize that God has the final say. In high places, he bring down. Even though we all know it was an injustice and they think that no bill got that officer off, trust me, y'all, there's a higher power out there. It has more influence than that grand jury. And so, can someone mute their background, please? And so, I'm saying to you all, please trust that the right thing is going to be done. If y'all can trust and give Dr. Zoe as much time as y'all given some other situations, give her a chance to put some pen and paper to this. Take to the streets on October 28th. Show them that y'all not satisfied with what's going on and that y'all are demanding some answers, that you all want the officer or officers involved to be fired, that you all want policy and procedure changed downtown, that whenever an officer pulls someone over on a traffic stop, just like they decided that you can no longer do high-speed chases because it's too dangerous, whenever officer pulls someone over, dash cam video needs to be activated, and we do not need to explain anymore that there's no such thing that there wasn't a dash cam video. There is a such thing, and it needs to be activated. It was one in that car that night, and there was one in all of those officers' cars. They just have not turned them over. And I'll go on record as saying that I don't believe what you're saying, Fort Worth Police Department, when you say that there's no dash cam video. But at this time, I'm going to say thank you to Dr. Joe Spencer. Thank you to the Thomas family. Thank you to Cardell Davis for calling in tonight. You've been really profound in what you told us happened that night. Again, the protest is going down October 28th. The flyers will go on the ground as soon as we get a time, as soon as we line up some other things. We're going to let you know more about it. But trust me, stay tuned to Center Stage.
Information out either. That's one thing I wanted to say. A lot of my friends come to me, and I'm not even being informed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not getting information to me either. And we just not. It's just a miscommunication in the community.
Okay, we're gonna take care of that.
We need to get the information out to the community, because we're going to come together on this.
Stay tuned to Center Stage. Trust me, we're going to let y'all know about October 28th. So at this time, y'all, we're going to let Pastor Dixon take us out. And I want to apologize to the last people that were on the phone lines. My switchboard went crazy. I cannot get into it anymore to take any more callers, and I apologize. But for whatever reason, it has frozen for the last few minutes. So that's why I wasn't able to get into the switchboard to take the last few callers. But I appreciate everyone that called in tonight. Your participation was much appreciated. Okay, Pastor Dixon, give it over to you.
Okay, let us bow. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assignment and for bringing your blessings upon the Heavenly Father. We ask you to be strong, Heavenly Father, and fight against those who are fighting them. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to give them the strength and the courage for the name of them, Heavenly Father, to fight the good fight, that they, Heavenly Father, shall become totally dependent upon you and not give in to the adversary, but not give in to the evil one. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead and guide their thoughts. And even in the midst of the protest, Heavenly Father, cast you, dear Master, to give them the strength and enable them to realize, Heavenly Father, that even when they're going through difficult days, that you're there with them. To bless this family, to give them the courage, Heavenly Father, that they stand in need of. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that those that have thought about shame within the city of Fort Worth, that they, Heavenly Father, will be dealt with in a godly manner. We realize, Heavenly Father, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, according to your purpose and your holy divine will. And we're asking you, Heavenly Father, to complete this family. To know, dear Master, that even though sometimes we don't have the patience, give them the patience to endure. For you often remind us in your holy divine word that the race is not given to the swift, those that shall endure. So we're asking you tonight, Master, to give them the enduring power and let
them know, Heavenly Father, that they're not all by themselves, that you're going to be there with them, that you're going to give them the strength, that they, Heavenly Father, will abide by the law, even in the midst of the protest. It shall be done. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask it all. Thank God. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all receive that because I received that tonight. And we're going to trust and believe, like the pastor said, that God got it under control. Okay?
No,
so we want y'all to know, Ra-Ra didn't die in vain. In the end, he is the catalyst for change. Okay? So y'all accept that. Stay in touch. Y'all know I'm on Facebook. Hit me up on Facebook. I'll put y'all in contact with Dr. Zoe Spencer if y'all want to. Just whatever y'all need. Holler at me on Facebook. Listen, thank you so much for tuning in tonight, y'all. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.